I'll be honest with you, I was preparing another message for this morning. And yesterday, the Lord laid on my heart this message. So I was sitting at my kitchen table for hours yesterday preparing this. And I feel like it's the Lord's direction. I want to be a preacher that preaches what God lays on my heart. And He's laid this message on my heart. And I trust it to be a blessing. It is so simple, it's ridiculous. But it's so simple, it's life-changing. And it's a great thought, it really is. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23. Well, what a great Sunday morning crowd. God bless you for being here. I'm excited to see the house of God with this many people in it. And I'm glad you're one of them, every one of you. Well, most of you. No, I'm just kidding. Good. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark the first three words in verse 23. It's the three words, being born again. Being born again. Let's pray together. I want to share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you today. And we thank you for this great host of people that's chosen to come to your house. And I pray that you make it worth their time. Would you help me to be a help to them? Would you speak to hearts? And Lord, I pray that those who've never been born again will be born again today. But we who have been born again, I pray that you encourage us with this thought and this message. Help me to preach it with clarity, I pray, and compassion in my heart. May thy will be done, I pray. And may the devil and his evil spirits be defeated. And may you be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember it was after midnight, early in the morning on April the 1st, 2003, when my wife woke me up to tell me she thought it was time. At first, I believe it went through my mind that she may be trying to fool me, because it was April 1st, you understand. But I soon realized that this was the real deal. And around 10 a.m., our first child, Judson, who's now 6 years old, was born into this world. I remember it was May the 12th, 2008. In my notes, I put down 2006. And I said, that doesn't sound right. It's 2008. And my wife had a doctor's appointment to see how everything was going. And now, we knew that our little girl had only a two-vessel umbilical cord instead of a three-vessel umbilical cord. But we didn't know the full extent of the danger that this could cause. My wife and I were sitting in the room when the doctor came in and told us that if we went ahead and allowed them to take the baby, that she might have weak lungs, born with weak lungs. But then he proceeded to tell us if we waited, she could die suddenly in the womb. Well, you know, when we heard this, we realized the Lord had made it obvious what we ought to do. You know, some things you don't even have to pray about, you know. And that evening, my wife gave birth to a precious baby girl. Now, she's sick today. That's why my wife's not here. And bless her heart. Well, I tell you, what a precious, precious children I've got. Now, we've had the privilege of seeing two wonderful children born into our family. What an experience this has been. I want to ask you a question. If you're a parent, how many of you all remember when your children were born? Would you raise your hand? You remember that? Sure you do. Boy, if you don't, you're in trouble, right? And while we remember these things, there is a remembrance brought to our attention that reminds us that there was a time when all of us were born. Every one of us. Boy, this is deep. I know this is deep. But you were born sometime in your life. Different times, different places, different circumstances, but the same experience. We all had a birth. I'd like to say that the Word of God tells us that just as a baby is born into the world and given a chance to live and grow, in the same way we all must be born again to make it to heaven when we die. Let me explain to you what the new birth is all about, being born again. See, when you were born into this world, you were born in and under sin. You were born under the sin of Adam, which explains why you and I, nobody had to teach us to do wrong. They have to teach us to do right. Every one of us are born sinners, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. But Jesus Christ, who is God in human flesh, came to this earth and he lived a perfect, sinless life. And he went to the cross of Calvary and he died in your place and mine. And anybody now that comes to him in sincere faith and repents of their sin and receives the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart and life, they become what the Bible calls born again. And what I'm telling you is, unless you've been born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. The Bible says in John 3:3-7, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Now, it's a beautiful thing that our Lord has likened salvation to being born again. And I submit to you that he's trying to get us to see some great truths about salvation. Therefore, let's look closely at being born again by comparing it to being born physically, and how being born physically is a summary of how we're to be born spiritually. In other words, the things that summarize a physical birth are the same things that summarize the second birth, which could be the reason why God calls it being born again. Now, there's several things I want you to see, and no doubt God has in mind those who trusted the Lord last week when he laid this message on my heart. But no doubt he has those in mind who may be listening to me right now, not sure that heaven's their home. They're not sure that if they drop dead, if they're going to heaven or if they're not. God has you in mind. And at the same time, he has everybody else in mind, because there's something in this message for every last one of us. Now, there are five things, I believe it is. I'm going by memory, but I believe there are five things I want to share with you today that summarizes a physical birth, that also summarizes the new birth or being born again. Number one, the first thing we notice is the child has nothing to do with it. May I say this to you? In a physical birth, God blesses the union of a husband and wife with the gift of a child. Understand, the child had nothing to do with it. You understand that, don't you? And in the same way, we as God's children, or if you're lost today, let me tell you this, we as human beings have absolutely nothing to do with the second birth. You have nothing to do with being born again. What I mean by that, it's not by your works. It's not by what you do. It's what he does. He births you into the family of God. It is not my works, it's the work of God, free from human works. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-10, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 3, just listen to it please for time's sake, but in Romans chapter 3, verse number 21, the Bible says this, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." The Bible goes on to say this, "To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. The Bible goes on to say in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 and following, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." The Bible says, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." The Bible goes on to say in Romans chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, it says this. It says, "Even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works, Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and his own grace. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. In James 1:18, 1 John 3:9, and 1 John 5:1 talks about being born of God. Let me tell you something this morning. When you came to the Lord Jesus Christ and you bowed your head and you asked God to forgive you and to come in your heart and life, he birthed you into the family of God. It has nothing to do with your works. It has nothing to do with you earning it. It has everything to do with the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. You do not earn salvation. We've already earned death, Romans 6:23. You do not earn grace. It's a gift. And just like physical birth is a gift, spiritual birth is a gift of God. The child has nothing to do with it. Number two, not only the child has nothing to do with it, but secondly, the child is brought forth by the pain of another. Now stay with me. It's been said the mother enters the jaws of death to bring forth life. And all the mothers say, amen, right? Now you know how I'm going to apply this, don't you? Let me say in the same way, being born again is only possible by the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. There's no doubt about it. Matthew 16:21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, get it, and suffer many things. The Bible says in Mark 8:31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Mark 24:46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:1, Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. You say, Jody, what did he suffer? I am inaccurate when I began to describe the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think anybody can accurately describe it. We can get a little picture of it, but I don't think anybody can say that's exactly what it was like. But I'm going to tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ could have stopped at any time he wanted. He didn't have to do this. He had to offer you and I heaven, but he didn't have to do this. And by the way, if he stopped at any time, he's still just in doing that. He's still just. He would still be right if he didn't go to the cross. But yet the Bible tells us, and I'm not going to give you all the text, but the Bible tells us in the Gospels that he stood before these dear folks and they reached up and grabbed his beard and they began to pull it out by the roots. The Bible tells us that they stripped him down and somehow they tied him up and they took what's called the cat of nine tails. The cat of nine tails is a Roman whip with nine strands coming out of it. And apparently in each one of those strands is something that they would tie within it that would rip the flesh. Whether it be something like lead balls or glass or bone or something like that. And they would tie the victim down and a Roman soldier would rear back and with those nine strands he'd come down upon the back and those things would dig into the flesh and he would rip it back and he would come down again and he would rip it across the back and he would come down again and he would rip it across the back. Nobody knows exactly how many times they hit the Lord. But we know in Psalm 22 that the Bible says a prophecy of the crucifixion that his inwards stared upon him. That tells me that if you could stand behind him, that you could see some of his internal organs. His beard plucked out. His back emaciated. Then we think about his head. Now they took a crown of thorns, and not just these little rosebush thorns that you and I are accustomed to, but these kind of thorns that grew over there like 3 inches in length or something similar to that. And they made a crown of thorns, and they put it upon his head, and they took a stick and beat it down upon his brow. And the blood came out. We're reminded of him laying him down and putting spikes in his hands and spikes in his feet. Don't ever forget this. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered so you and I could be born. A physical birth is only possible with the suffering of another human being. And in the same way, the spiritual birth, the second birth, being born again, is only possible through the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, being born again means that the child has nothing to do with it. Number two, the child is brought forth by the pain of another. Number three, being born again means it's a one-time experience. Boy, I like that. Question, how many times are you born into this world? I told you this is real deep this morning. Hope you can understand my message. How many times were you born into this world? Thank the Lord some of you can't be born over in this world, you know. I know what you're saying. It's what you're thinking about me too. I know that. But the obvious answer is this. Only one time are you born physically. And let me say this to you folks. The spiritual birth, being born again, it's a one-time experience. That means when you get it, you've got it for all eternity. You can't lose it. How in the world can somebody think that they cannot work to earn it, but they have to work to keep it? It's not a purchase, it's a gift. Now stay with me here. Being born again, God says, Jesus said, unless you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Could it be that he's trying to tell us it's a one-time experience? Now let me give you some reasons today. This is in the Stepping in the Light book too. But let me give you some reasons today about why you are secure in Jesus Christ. Let me give you some of these things. And really, I cannot get bogged down in this. But let me give you some reasons. Number one, the present is everlasting. In other words, the gift that God gives, which is everlasting life, it is eternal. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me tell you something. If you could get it and lose it and get it and lose it and get it and lose it, it is potentially eternal life. Do you see the difference? He would have to say the gift of God is potentially eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord if you keep it. But that's not what he said. He said the gift of God is eternal life. You listening to me? When you got it, you got everlasting life. Now, if you could lose it, that's a lie. That's a lie. Anybody out there listen to me today? That's a lie. The present, the gift is everlasting. Number two, the promises are true. Let me give you just some of the promises given in Scripture to God's children. In John 5:24, the Bible says they shall not come into condemnation. Let me ask you a question. What is the lake of fire known as? It's known as the condemnation of God. That is where God condemns sin and condemns the sinner. But the Bible tells his children, they shall not come into condemnation. That's only one promise. Let me give you another one. In John 10:27 and 28, Jesus said this, talking about his sheep, talking about those who've been born again. He said, they shall never perish. You know what that word never means? It means by nothing at all. By no means. I mean, nothing at all will cause my children to perish. Don't you think that would summarize when we fall short, even as God's children? God says, wait a minute, they're my sheep. They will in no wise at all, ever at all perish. What a promise. Then he goes on to give us this promise in Hebrews 13:5. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Are you listening to me? Those who die and go to a devil's hell are forsaken by God. God has forsaken them. But Jesus Christ has told his children, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a promise. What a promise. The present is everlasting. The promises are true. Number three, the pronouncement is single. Now what in the world does that mean? Well, in Matthew chapter 7, speaking of the judgment, now listen to this. Speaking of the judgment, it says this in Matthew 7, verses 21 and following. Here's what it says. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And by the way, he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Now notice this. "Then will I profess unto them," pronounce, profess, "I never knew you." Now maybe you didn't understand what I just said. But when it's talking about the judgment here, Jesus Christ says, my pronouncement, my judgment sentence to those who are going to a devil's lake of fire, my pronouncement is not going to be, "I knew you once, but I never knew you." He didn't say that. He said, my pronouncement is going to be, I'm going to look every one of them in the eye, and I'm going to say, "I never knew you." What's that tell you? Means he never knew them. Means they were never saved. Don't you see that? Now, if you could get it and lose it, 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 there'd have to be two pronouncements. He'd have to say, "I never knew you. I once knew you, but you didn't keep it. I once knew you, but you didn't endure." No, he said, "I'm going to tell everybody there that day, I never knew you. I never knew you." What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say if you're saved, you're saved forever, whether you realize it or not. Let me give you a fourth reason. The preservation is certain. Do you realize that when you got saved, the Lord Jesus Christ has given you an example for all of us to liken to? It's with a preservative, something that's been preserved. For instance, the Bible says, first of all, that we're preserved in Christ. Jude verse 1 says, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved." You know what that word preserved means? It means to detain in custody. Preserved in Jesus Christ. That means when you got saved, God arrested you. Now, you more powerful than God? I'm not going to ask anybody been arrested. Some of you say amen there, right? The fact is this. You listening to me? When you get arrested, God willing, this never happened to you, but when a police officer arrests you, for instance, we've got police officers here today. I should have thought of this earlier, Brother Mark, but you don't have your handcuffs on you, do you? Praise God. Thank the Lord. All right. When a police officer arrests somebody, that person is now in their custody. He is now in their control, under their power. You understand what I'm saying? They're going to go where he says to go. They're going to do what he says to do. Right, Brother Scotty? They're under your custody at that time. You control them. At the same time, the Bible says when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God put holy handcuffs on you. Now you're free, don't get me wrong, but understand what he's teaching us. He's saying, "I am your authority. I've got you under my wing, and you're not going to get out from under it." Amen. We're preserved in Christ. Secondly, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And then we're kept by the power of God. 1 Peter 1:5, "Who are kept," that means guarded or post spies at the gate, "by the power or ability of God through faith and the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." 1 Peter 1:5 tells me this. I don't keep myself. God keeps me. Because it says we are kept by the power of God. In other words, it's the ability of God that keeps me saved. It's God's power that makes me a Christian. It's God's power that keeps me going to heaven. It's not what I do, it's what he's done, and he's big enough to help me make it all the way through. Now, I brought something with me today. I don't know what this is. Found this in one of the cabinets at my house. It says peach butter. Anybody know what that is, peach butter? Do you? Anybody want this? This is peach butter. It's been preserved. Now keep in mind that God says when you got saved, he preserved you in Christ, sealed you with the Spirit, and keeps you up by his own power. Now I want to ask you a question.
Let's just say that the peaches that are in this, whatever the case may be, let's just pretend like this is just peaches, okay? Preserved peaches. Are you with me? Everybody with me? If not, I'm going to start all over again. You're with me, right? Let's just say that this is peaches, just peaches. Let me ask you a question. Let's say that that jar was empty and the peaches were down here on the floor, all right? Now, folks, we can say, okay, peaches, get bulked up. All right, on the count of three, I'm going to tell you, and you're going to jump up there in that jar, all right? You ready? One, two, three, jump. Now, unless you're watching a cartoon, they're not moving, right? Am I right or wrong? They're not moving. Why are they not moving? They can't do that. It's out of their ability. That's impossible for them. They don't have the power to do that. Stay with me. But if I would reach down and I would grab one and I would put it into the jar, then I would reach up and I would seal it and then I would set it up somewhere. Let's just say that I just put it right there. That is not moving unless somebody else moves it. I told you this is so simple, it's ridiculous. I know that. But I'm helping somebody here. All I'm saying to you is that Jesus Christ said when you got saved, He said He put you into Himself. He put you in. He sealed you with the Holy Spirit and He keeps you up in His own power. Praise God. And He says, ready to be revealed in the last time. There's nobody going to take you out of God's hand. You can't jump out of God's hand. It's not in your power. Don't you understand that? It's not like those peaches in there, let me out. It's not in their power. It's not possible for them. In the same way, it's not possible for a child of God to lose their salvation. Why? Because it wasn't their work in the first place. It was all the work of God. He reached down. He grabbed you. He put you in. He sealed you. It's all in the Lord. Don't you see that? We're preserved in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep. You know what that word keep? It means preserve that which I've committed unto Him against that day. The preservation of a Christian is not them keeping themselves. It's all a work of God. We're looking at it's a one-time experience. The present is everlasting. The promises are true. The preservation is certain. And number four, Christ's prayers are always heard. Always. Matter of fact, in John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42, for time's sake, I'm not going to turn to it. But this is the story when He gets ready to raise Lazarus. And remember, He bows down and He talks to His Father and He says, I thank Thee, Father, that You've heard Me. And then He goes on to say, and I know that You hear Me always. Right? The God the Father listens to God the Son always. And yet in John 17, 17 to 24, Jesus praying to His Father says this. He says, I will that they be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory. What's He praying for? He's praying that His children will be in heaven to see Him in all of His glory. And keep in mind, God the Father always hears God the Son, and God the Son said, I will, I'm praying, this is My will, I will that they be with Me there so they can see Me in all My glory. The Bible goes on to say, Hebrews chapter 7, don't turn to it for time's sake, but in Hebrews chapter 7 and verses 22 and following, it says this, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were made priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, talking about the Lord, because He continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto Him by God, seeing, get this, He ever liveth to make intercession for them. That means if you're saved, your heavenly high priest is praying for you right now. And His prayers are always answered and always heard. That's major point number three. That it is a one time, we're looking at being born again, comparing it from a physical birth to the spiritual birth. The child has nothing to do with it, neither over here. The child comes into being because of the suffering of another. We come into spiritual being, the new birth, on our way to heaven because of the suffering of Jesus Christ. The physical birth is a one-time experience. The spiritual birth is a one-time experience. Number four,
a birth means a new life. Boy, I like this. Think about it. Now, listen to this. Here's one of those deep statements. Are you ready? Get your pen out. You might not want to forget this. There's no baby born with a past.
There's no baby that's born with a past. Amen? It's all a new life in ahead, right straight in front of them.
Now, what's this mean? Isn't it obvious? In the same way, when an individual is born again, their past is gone. It's buried in the depths of the deepest sea, never to be remembered again. Let me ask you a question, and I raise my hand first. Have you all have done something in your past? I'm not trying to dig it up, but you've done something in your past that you wish that you could go back and change. Would you raise your hand? Sure, all of us have, right? All of us. May I tell you something? That when you got saved, if you trusted the Lord, now if you haven't, your past is haunting you. But if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you can look up to God and say, God, I did that. And you know what He'd say to you? What are you talking about? Can you imagine this? The all-knowing God chooses to forget our past. The all-knowing God chooses to forget the things He forgives. Only God can do that. Aren't you glad He does that? The Bible says in Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. In Isaiah 38:17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For Thou hast cast all my sins behind Thy back. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Praise God that when you trust Jesus, your past is gone. It's gone. It's over. He'll never bring it up again. Aren't you glad it's that way? Praise God for that. We're looking at the physical birth, and now we're looking at being born again. It means we have nothing to do with it. It means it takes place with the suffering of another. It means it's a one-time experience. It means it's a new life. And then in closing, that doesn't mean you're closing, I hope, but in closing, it means that now this baby has needs that somebody's going to have to meet. With a baby comes responsibility. Somebody's going to have to step up and help the baby grow into a mature adult. Let me give you some things that physical children need. In the same way, spiritual children need the same thing. And if you're listening to me today and you just got saved last week, I want you to know that our church wants to be the ones to step up and provide these things for you. Amen. But children, physical children, what do they need? What's the needs they have? Number one, they have the need of love. There's no doubt about that. Do you realize that it has been scientifically proven that love, attention, and affection in the first years of life have a direct and measurable impact on a child's physical, mental, and emotional growth? Now, did you hear what I just said? Love and touch actually cause your child's brain to grow. You know what folks need when they first get saved? Really, really, really all their life, but especially when they first get saved and they become a newborn baby into the family of God. You know what they need? They need somebody that cares. They need somebody who loves them and talks to them and nurtures them and speaks to them and listens to them and says, I want you to know I love you. And I care what happens to you. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. They need to know that we care about them. and we care about what happens to them. Let me say again to those who've just been newly saved, we love you around this church.
I, as the pastor, all the way back, God willing, listen to me, we care about what happens to you. We want to help you grow into a spiritual, mature adult for the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's going to take some personal time, isn't it? Somebody's going to have to invest in them. May the Lord burden somebody. They need love. Number two, I'm on my last page, so stay with me. They need nutrition. You know, a newborn baby will not survive long without eating. Now, all they need for the first 6 months is milk or formula. But eventually, they'll graduate to solid foods. You know, isn't it interesting that being born again means that all we need, are you listening? When you trust Jesus Christ, all you need is to feast on the Word of God. It's interesting to me that the Bible calls itself certain things. In 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. The Word of God, other places in Scripture, calls itself meat and calls itself water. God's speaking to us. He's saying, when you're a newborn baby, you need my book. When you graduate to solid foods, it's still the book you need. It's meat. And no matter how old you are, there's never a time in your life when you do not have a need for water. And my word, my book is water. It's water, it's milk, it's meat. We need a steady diet of God's word. They need nutrition. Let me say something to you. They need a steady diet of the Word of God. By the way, no matter how old you are, this is still your need. Right here it is. We need the Bible. Number three, they have a need of one-on-one attention. One-on-one attention. You know, research shows that children whose parents spoke to them extensively as babies have significantly higher IQs and richer vocabularies than kids who didn't receive much verbal stimulation. That's interesting, isn't it? And once your child is born, talk to him or her as you diaper them, feed them, and bathe them. And it's interesting, they'll respond better if they know the words are directed at them. That's interesting to me right there. You know what we're trying to do with our Stepping in the Light program? Some of you don't even know we have that program. You do now. It's our follow-up program. You know what we're trying to do in that? We're trying to give these dear folks some one-on-one attention. Brother Nathan's teaching this class right now, but he can't do it all himself. Here's my burden as the pastor of Buffalo Ridge. I would love for every Sunday school department to have somebody step up in it and say, you know, while they go through that class and listen to Brother Nathan teach it, I'll go into their home this week and check on them and see if they have any questions about it, see if they understood, and see if they have any needs that we can help meet. You think God would be in something like that? I do. But we need help to do it. Amen. Aren't you glad somebody pays attention to you? We all want one-on-one attention, every one of us. And yet a baby left to himself doesn't have a chance. You ever heard this? Well, I thought they got saved last week. Why aren't they here today? I would respond by saying, did you call them and invite them? Did you offer to go by and pick them up? They're babies. They don't know any better. They need somebody to step up and help them in their new life for Christ. Amen. I'll amen my own preaching today. That's the truth. They need one-on-one attention. And number four, they need protection. Children need to be protected. You know, a baby needs things locked up. Amen. A baby needs things put away for their own safety, because they don't realize the danger that can be. And you know, in the same way, we need to be warning newborn babies of spiritual pitfalls to be aware of so they don't become a spiritual casualty. By the way, if you're listening to me and you're a spiritual baby right now, that means you've just recently gotten saved. That's where the church comes into play. That's where teaching all things whatsoever He's commanded us in Matthew chapter 28 comes into play. You know what I'm doing from this pulpit
all the time. I'm warning, watch out for that. Don't do that. Wait a minute. Stay away from that. But on top of that, eat this. Go there. Do that. Why? Because that is what God has made it to be. They've got to be protected. Have y'all like to see people walk in the aisle every week, and not just walk in the aisle every week, but coming back after it and turning into disciples and then them bringing other people in? Wouldn't you love to see that? Man, I'd love to see that. We can see it. If somebody says, I'm going to spend some one-on-one time with these newborn babies, I'm going to give them some time. I'm going to start protecting them. I'm going to start pointing out some things to them. I'm going to start training them. Hey, I'll take them under my wing. That's what a baby needs. Now, in conclusion, being born again into God's family is such a wonderful blessing. Amen. Now, don't miss this statement, and I'm closing. Here it is. If you're born once, you'll die twice. But if you're born twice, you'll never die. Let me say it again. If you're born once, that means a physical birth, but you refuse the second birth, the new birth, being born again. You know you need it. I'm not going to do it. You're born once, you die twice. Physically, and the lake of fire is known as the second death. Interesting, isn't it? But if you're born twice, that means you're born physically, and you've been born again spiritually. You'll never die. Your body might cease to function, but your soul and spirit will take its flight to God, and you'll never taste death. Being born again. And may God drive it on our hearts. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you today, and I thank you for this simple statement. I mean, what a simple thought of being born again. And what that means, what a simple thing. Father, I pray that you help our church to be faithful. We who have been born again, help us to be faithful in nurturing newborn babies, in helping them along, realizing that somebody helped us along. Now your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, she's beginning to play through softly. There's two kinds of people under the sound of my voice today. Those who've been born again and those who have not. My question to you is, which one are you? Has there been a time in your life when you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? If you know for sure, without a doubt, now listen, I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you that. I just want you to be honest with God. Would you do that? Have you know for sure, without a doubt, no doubt in your mind, you know without a doubt, that you've been born again, that heaven's your home, you've trusted Christ and Christ alone. It's not your works, it's His grace. And you know without a doubt that heaven is your home. If you know that to be the case, with God watching you, would you raise your hand in the air, please? You say, I know I'm saved, I know I'm a Christian. I have no doubts about it. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Now there are some listening to me today and you could not raise your hand. I want to say this to you. Thank you for being honest. You know, it all starts with honesty. It really does. And I want you to know something. All those people who raised their hand to say that they know they've been born again, there was a time in their life when they couldn't raise their hand either. But now they've made that decision and they do not regret it. Now, if you're sitting there today and you say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand to that. I could not raise my hand honestly to say that I know without a doubt that heaven is my home. If that's you, again, I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out, but I do need to know how we need to proceed. Please, just be honest. If you say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand to that, I'm being honest. God's watching me. I could not raise my hand to that question. If that's you, quickly, quietly, right there at your seat, would you raise your hand in the air now? Would you do that? You say, Jody, pray for me. Pray for me. I see that hand. God bless you. I see this hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. You can put it right back down. You don't have to keep it up. Just put it right back down. Now, if you raise your hand to this question, I want you to do me a favor. Would you do that? I want you to look right up here at me. If you raise your hand. I see you. I see you. Good. I see you. God bless you. Do you know the folks sitting beside you, right? Sure you do. What I want you to do right now, I want you to poke them. Would you do that? Would you do that for me? I want you to poke them. I'm talking about the person sitting right beside you that you know. If you get poked, I want you to look right up here at me, please. Now, they have responded. And I'll be honest with you. I know the devil's fighting. What a privilege that God has spoken to you. You understand that? You understand that? What a privilege. God is after you. He's after you. And He wants to help you with this. What an honor. What an honor. But what I want to ask you to do is this. In just a moment, when I begin to deal, we're going to open the invitation. And I'm going to move right front, right down front right here. And I want both of you, and those who are looking at me with you, I want all of you to come. The reason I'm doing that is it makes it easier if somebody comes with them. You understand that? You understand that? Makes it easier on them if somebody comes with them. And you say, Jody, why do I need to come forward? Because we're going to take a Bible. Man with a man, man with a man, man with a man. And we're going to show you so you can see it yourself. This will help you. You know I'm wanting to help you, right? You know that. You know I'm wanting to help you, right? I want to ask you to do this in just a moment. It'll make sense when the time is. Okay? Thank you. If you're sitting there right now and you say, Jody, there's something in my past that I need to bury in my past. I need to leave it there. I'm forgiven. God's forgiven me, but I need to leave it there. And God's speaking to you. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. I wonder, are you eating right? Do you have a steady diet of the Word of God? Have you say, Jody, God's speaking to me about reading His Word, about memorizing His Word, about meditating upon His Word. And you say, Jody, I'm a child of God, but I've not been feeding myself. I've not been eating. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person of that. Yes. Good. God bless you. I want us all to stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Father, take it and break it. Use it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. Right now, if God is speaking to you, I want you to come. You dear folks who responded about salvation, right now is your time. As he sings, would you step out? Would you come, please?
Softly
would you come now? Would you come now?
Jesus
would you come now?
Would you come calling, now? Calling
God bless you.
For
this is
you and
you.
For me.
Amen. Wonderful. Amen.
See on the portals he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home.
There's still time for you. Still time for you.
Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner.
God help you.
Tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me. Why should we linger and heed not his mercies? Mercies for you.
God bless you. My brother Gary, can pray with you, okay? He has a desire to help new converts.
If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. I know most of you can't see me. You can hear my voice. I'm on your level, which means you're above mine probably, you know. But isn't this a blessing? I mean, honestly. See, we can see this every week. The more people we get involved, the more people we reach. Right? There are many who are in our midst today. And you trusted the Lord last week. You asked Jesus to come into your heart. And I want you to know something. We're thrilled you're here. We want you to stay with us. Amen. This is a blessing. I've got such a burden for those I played ball with. Such a burden for those I went to school with. And one of them's at the altar. Isn't that good? It's good, isn't it? Amen. This is what it's all about. If you're sitting there right now and you say, Jody, what can I do? What in the world can I do? What you can do is you can take a new convert under your wing. And so let me just share with you what somebody shared with me. Take them out soul winning with you. Say, I'm not soul winning. Shame on you. Start it. Amen. By the way, I need three men who's willing to go visiting with me every week. I need three who's willing to go with me every week. You don't have to say a word. Just go listen to me talk. It's what you do here anyway, right? You say, boy, I'd like that. I'd like to do that. Then you come see me. I'll take the first three that come. Amen. I'll take the first three. That way nobody can charge me with showing favoritism. Amen. This is good, isn't it? Hey, this is better than that junior whopper I'm going to get after church today. Wait, excuse me. It's better than those two junior whoppers I'm going to get after church today. Amen. We're dealing with those. I draw your attention to this again. Some of you never remember the message, but you might remember this. If you're saved, this is you. And he's keeping you in his power. And you're going to make it. Amen. You're going to make it. Man, that's a blessing. I enjoyed preaching today. Amen. Praise God for it. I want to challenge the church that are listening to me. If you have visitors sitting close to you, bombard them, pigpile them. No, I'm just kidding with you. But honestly, make them feel right at home. And if you're visiting with us today, God bless you. Man, we love you. Care so much about you. We trust the Lord will send you our way. But that's up to Him. Amen. Very good. Stacy and Natalie Newton, if you wouldn't mind to stand. Brother Harry, you can stand there with them if you don't mind. Both of you have been saved, correct? Yes. You've been saved before this service, right? Good. Wonderful. But they are desiring membership in our church by baptism. This is great. Are you sure about this? You know? I mean, we played ball together and all that. That's good. That's good. What's the pleasure of the church in this? Could I get a motion, please? Very good, Brother Butler. Second. Good. Whoever you are back there. No, I saw a hand. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Aye. Pose the same sign, so carry. Very good. God bless you. We're glad you're here. Thrilled you're here. Wonderful. I'll be by your home this week. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. One more here. Just them, folks. Sorry about that. I'm good at deceiving people, you know. Very good. Very good. Neil Harrington. If you wouldn't mind to stand there, Mr. Harrington. Mr. Harrington is coming today to rededicate his life to the Lord.
That's a blessing. The Lord's breaking him. That's a good sign. That's not a bad sign. That's a good sign. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you. Just about through here, folks, okay? You don't mind waiting on this, do you? I hope not. I hope not. Wonderful. All right, TJ and Tracy, if you wouldn't mind to stand, please. Nathan's standing there with you. And TJ is coming today. And TJ, do you know that Jesus Christ died to save you? And you're coming today to receive him as your Lord and Savior. We rejoice with you. That is a wonderful thing. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, what's the next step? You see what I'm saying? I'm going to answer that. You don't need to answer it. The next step is get into our Stepping in the Light program. Brother Nathan, who led you to the Lord, he teaches it. We've got a book we want to give you. And hopefully somebody in this congregation will say, I'll take him under my wing. And I'll teach him what somebody taught me. See, the beautiful thought about this is, even though you're a grown man, spiritually, you're a brand new baby. You see what I'm saying? And you need help. That's not an indictment on you. That's just the way it is. You're a brand new baby in Christ. And a baby left to themselves is not going to make it long. You see what I mean? So I'm personally telling you in front of all these people, I'm going to be looking for both of you again next week. I'd love to have you tonight and Wednesday night, whatever the case may be. But whenever you can get here, I want you both to stay faithful to church here. Wouldn't that be good? Amen? Very good. It's been a great day. We praise God for it. Our next service is tonight at 7 o'clock. I trust you'll be here if you can. We're going to be dismissed in prayer. And I'm going to ask these dear folks just to kind of remain here just a moment, because some of our folks want to come by and greet you. And we're thrilled to have all of you here. I mean that. God bless you. Outstanding. Brother Steve Matney, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, please.